A recorder, joined.
So welcome everyone. We're just coming up on 5 o'clock, and I will remind everyone that this is being recorded and will be
joined
to the public. So I am going to get us started right on time. We may have some people coming in the next few minutes. I'm going to start with roll call, and then I'll go over our meeting norms just to make sure that we have quorum. Can you please confirm if you're present? Trustee Becky Buck.
Alex Strumstone.
Joined.
I'm here.
Thank you. Trustee Cam Galindo.
Present.
Thank you. Trustee Alex Johnstone.
Present.
And Trustee Paul Tutt. Okay, Trustee Tutt might be joining us in a little bit.
Joined.
You're present. Trustee Tutt, was that you?
That's me. Hi.
Wonderful. I was just checking that we had quorum, so we have all of our committee members here. Are there any non-committee members joining us tonight? Okay, I'm not hearing any. So I'll just remind everyone of our virtual meeting norms. So please, for those who have just come in, note that this is being recorded and it will be posted for the public. All of the callers are to place themselves on mute unless called upon to speak, and that helps us with our sound quality. We've done our roll call for attendance, and we'll do the same for questions where I will run through the list of names, and I have a rotating order to do that. I will randomly select a committee member to move an action
Denise
item.
Denise Dawson.
Joined.
We don't have any action items tonight, but if something does arise, it doesn't mean you support the item. It just moves it on the floor. And to facilitate voting, we will do a negative vote, and I will ask if anyone is opposed to the action item. Speak up only if you're opposed. And if for some reason I skip you or miss you and you do have a comment or a question, please feel free to jump in if I jump ahead too quickly. Okay, with that, we will get started. We've done our roll call and we have quorum. I'm going to be looking for approval of the agenda, and I'm going to ask that we add item 3.1, capital project update, as staff have some new information for us. So looking for approval of the agenda with the addition of item 3.1, I'm going to put Trustee Johnson in charge of moving that. I'll just run through our roll call to see if there are any questions or comments. Trustee Johnstone.
I'm good, thank you.
Trustee Tutt.
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck.
No questions.
And Trustee Galindo.
I'm good as well, thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone opposed to approval of the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we will move along to item three, our 2020-2021 budget development. So there is no copy for this. I'm not sure if there's a presentation. I didn't see one. This will be a monitoring item, and I will turn it over to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, Dawn, and I apologize. I sent the presentations out around 4:45, so you may not have had a chance to see it, but there are two presentations related to the budget update, the special education one, and then there's another budget presentation. I would say the first thing that we will start with is the special education. I'm going to turn it over to Denise to go through, but just as an update, we are supposed to be receiving our GSNs by tomorrow. I'm hopeful, but I wouldn't put a lot of money on it. So we are still working with our best estimates for revenue and obviously for expenses. And at the time that we receive the GSNs, we will be able to bring an update to trustees about what that entails for our board. We're still working under the assumptions that it is basically a net zero budget or zero change budget. So we would expect very little changes in expenses as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to Denise to go through special education. So if you can open that presentation first.
Denise Dawson.
And then we'll look at the next one. Oh, I hope that's not true. but Denise, are you still there?
She might have to call back in. Did you want to start us off in the meantime?
Sure. So what I'll start us off doing is just on the other presentation, the first slide, going through the timelines, and
what I'll say is that we have met all of the timelines to date where we would be expected to be, except for receiving the GSN and obviously having a truer calculation of revenue. But other than that, we've done our budget assumptions, we've done our priorities, we've done the school-based staffing. Denise presented to SEAC last week the special education budget and got any potential updates from them. And again,
joined.
We'll move forward. So with that, I think turn it over to Denise to go through the special education presentation.
Sorry about that, everybody. I got the wrong button.
Before you do that, I'm having a really hard time hearing people. If you could speak louder, I can barely hear over my keyboard click.
Okay.
Okay, and it is coming through clearly at my end, so I know that can vary depending on where we all are. But if we can try to speak clearly into the phones, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. I apologize. I got disconnected there. I am in a basement, so everything doesn't work as well. So if we want to turn to the special education PowerPoint, and what I did was there was a presentation that was made to the Special Education Advisory Committee last Wednesday, and I went through with them the preliminary budget. Because they have not seen anything, a lot of this information that you're going to see, you've already seen, but it was basically a way to lead them to how their budget was developed. So, again, we've talked about the budget timelines. Nothing has changed on this other than I have indicated that the preliminary spec ed budget was taken to SEAC in May. It was last Wednesday. I'm anxiously, not really, awaiting the 5 o'clock release of the GSN tomorrow afternoon. And I have changed this slide to probably suggest that the presentation of the final budget will not be coming to board until June. We did at one point say it was May and June. Given the time frames we're at now, we're probably looking at the first part of June. So, again, they did not know anything about what had happened, so I had to remind them that the school-based staffing was passed by the board on April 20th, and for them that meant that elementary and secondary special class teachers had been approved, learning resource teachers, educational assistants, and child and youth care practitioners, and principals, vice principals, office admin, et cetera. We did go through the 6 reasons why we have a change in staffing, the investment in system priorities that we have talked about once staffing collective agreements are ratified. To date, we still only have QP ratified, so we're still in limbo land there. There's some uncertainty with PPS funding, school closures, which does not directly impact special ed, class size funding, again, no impact on special ed, changes in enrollment, and other budget adjustments. So I did try to go through a little bit about the areas that would impact the special education budget. So we talked about system priorities, and we talked about that it has been centrally negotiated. We need to have local agreements, and that this support is intended to support special education, unique learning needs, and mental health initiatives. So again, it's a heads up to special education. One thing we did talk about was our uncertainty regarding PPF funding and some of the funding grants that we talked about that we have no indication on that they were a little concerned about was the focus on fundamental math, mental health workers in the secondary schools, and specialist high skills major. They were a little concerned if we don't receive those grants, how would we continue to provide those services? Again, we have school closures and openings, not a direct impact on special education. Similarly, with changes in enrollment and other budget adjustments, there are staffing adjustments by
specialized services to reflect changes in enrollment between the panels and to meet the needs of students. And there was also staffing adjustments that we talked about when we did the school-based staffing in order to align expenditures with the ministry allocations. So with respect to special education, we went through the staffing changes that have occurred. In the elementary panel, there is a reduction of 8 special classes plus the corresponding prep time, which is a reduction of 9.6 teachers. We did increase the system learning resource teachers by 1. And then there was a increase in CCTC classrooms, where 1 secondary classroom is possibly moving to the elementary panel. We're waiting further approval from the ministry on that. In addition, when we talk about what happened in the secondary panels, we had an increase of 3 special class teachers plus the prep time, which is 4, which is really just a movement of students from the elementary to the secondary panel. So the need for these classes is in the secondary panel. Again, in the secondary side, there was a additional system learning resource teacher added, and you see the corresponding decrease in CCTC classrooms, where 1 classroom is, we're looking to move it from the elementary to the secondary panel. The additional changes to staff were an addition of 2 child and youth care workers. So what really happened is specialized services, all of the changes, all the reductions were offset by the additions, and the actual dollars spent on salaries did not change. It was just a reallocation between the various panels. So there was no absolute reduction in dollars in the special education panel. It was just a realignment to meet the needs of the students. Finally, when we look at special education, we look at the total, again, the total number of funded special education teachers and other additional staff. So you do see the net decrease in special education teachers, which is the elementary and secondary. There is a increase in educational assistants / child and youth care workers. No changes in the professionals and paraprofessionals, or system principals, consultants, and admin. So in total, we see a net decrease of 1.6 FTE. We are funding 987.23 positions in the special education grant at this point in time, down a little bit from last year. And when we take a look at the revenue and expenditures, what you see is, again, keeping in mind that we have not received the GSN, so these are just estimates by my team, but we have total revenue increasing by approximately just over $1 million, and that would be 100% due to the enrollment increase that's built into the budget. We have salaries and benefits increasing by $1.3 million. Again, that's a reflection of the changes in staffing and the 1% increase that was built in, that was now negotiated for 1920, and then again for 2021. And then there were some benefit changes in some of the central agreements. So salaries and benefits went up by $1.3 million. Consumables are up a little bit by about $30,000. Again, it's an enrollment thing that because of enrollment, we have additional funding for special education equipment, the SEA equipment, and so that needs to be spent there. So all in all, the revenue is expected to go up by approximately $1.1 million. All expenditures are expected to go up by $1.36 million. So we are, for the 2020-2021 budget, projecting an approximate $4.4 million deficit of expenditures over expenditures, which is up about $300,000 for where we are in the revised budget, which the revised budget, so that everybody knows, reflects any changes in enrollment as of October 31st of 2020. 2019. We did talk about in the last slide that the next steps are to receive the funding from the ministry, calculate our final budget position, continue to review expenditures with exec council, and bring recommendations forward to finance and facilities, and for exec council and unions to meet to determine positions to be allocated to the 2020-2021 budget from the Supports for Students Fund once these agreements are ratified, knowing that we do have funding available for our occupational groups, such as elementary teachers, secondary teachers, COPE, and our OSSTF education workers that still have to be determined, and those impacts may have some, those decisions may have some impact on the special education budget as we go forward. So with that, that was the presentation to SEAC and the preliminary special education budget. If there's any questions, I'd be pleased to answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the work that you're going through, given we've got a lot of uncertainties right now, but I feel like we're in a solid position in terms of projected staffing and the planning that's been done. I'm going to go through the roll call at this time, and then we can do another round of questions after the next presentation. So I'd like to start with Trustee Tutt. Do you have any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck.
I just want a little bit of clarity. I'm pretty sure I already know the answer, but when it comes to special ed funding, this is something that we've always kind of needed to top up in the past, right? So that amount that Denise had just mentioned, I think it was $300,000, that's something that we would normally already be kind of making plans for when we do the budget, that we do tend to go over what the ministry is allocating for us.
Yes, thank you, Trustee Buck. So we traditionally spend somewhere around $4 million more on special education than we receive through the GSN, and it sounds like we have a greater deficit right now projected for spec ed without adjustments being made. But Denise, would you like to clarify further?
Through the chair, we have traditionally overspent every year in special education. It varies, but 3 to 4 million is quite common on an annual basis. And yes, when we do build the budget, we are aware of that when it is being built and we make other, adjustments in other areas in order to continue to support special education to the degree that we do.
Okay, so thank you very much for that clarity, Denise. I was pretty sure that was what the answer was. I just wanted to be sure. No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. No, this was a really good presentation. I appreciate the breakdown and the step-by-step, I guess, process that was followed here. I guess I'm just excited for the GSN announcement that's coming because it'll help, solidify a lot of these numbers. But overall observation, it's always interesting to see such a large, complicated organization be summarized in just a series of numbers there. But no concerns, just a thank you to staff again. Thank you.
Thank you. And Trustee Johnstone?
Thanks. So I just want to go over on slide, we should probably have numbers of slides for future, where it's a special education funded staffing and where it shows a difference of minus 1.6. Is that, so that's connected, I'm guessing, with our students, like with the numbers of students, is that correct?
Sorry, through the chair, that's a net decrease of 1.6. If we go to the two slides before, we went through that we reduced elementary teachers in total by 7.6. We increased secondary teachers by 4. And then we increased educational assistants, child and youth care workers by 2, netting to 1.6. But, yes, the largest reason is the movement of students from the elementary panel to the secondary panel, which resulted in the reduction in elementary special classes for next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just, I guess, a further follow-up with regards to our special education always being that we always overspend in this area. It's important to note that long before I became a trustee, and I've been a trustee for 10 years now, we have always highlighted to the province, as has OFSA, that this area is completely underfunded. And every board across the province receives, I guess, it's not, you're not funded for your needs, you're funded for what the province assumes to be, I guess, a standard need across all school boards. So boards like ours, where we have an extremely high, much higher than provincial average number of students who require special education services, that means that we then have to borrow from other areas of our budget in order to bring it up to par. So we are losers in the, I guess, the funding of spec ed versus other boards. They actually receive more funding than what their needs are, because their needs are, say, lower than what the provincial average is. So just to provide that context in there in terms of why we cushion our spec ed budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone. And, of course, that is always the problem with using averages. I do have one question. This was presented to SEAC. Was there any feedback from SEAC that trustees might like to be aware of?
Through the chair, no, there was quite a good conversations going on. They were a little asking questions about whether the ministry was going to provide us additional resources for when we start back in the current year or next year with respect to the COVID-19. They also had, many of them are anxiously anticipating what type of staffing may impact special education with respect to the additional support for student funds. And so that will be brought back to them once all those decisions come through, probably at the end of, I'm not sure, maybe the end of May, beginning of June, when the next SEAC meeting is. But we did have some very good discussion, and there was not any real feedback that needs to be brought back as far as decision making goes.
Great, thank you, and thank you for the presentation. So we'll move to the second half of our budget update, and there is a second deck of slides. Associate Director Zucker, you're going to start us off on this one.
Thank you, and through the chair, I think I just went through that first slide already while Denise was disconnected. So with that, we can turn to slide number 3, and I can turn it over to Denise.
Thanks, Stacey. So what you're going to see today is non-school-based staffing. As you remember, on April 20th, we passed school-based staffing, which is approximately 85% of our staffing. It consisted of elementary and secondary teachers, such as classroom and credit-granting teachers, learning resource teachers, self-contained special class teachers. We also, at that point, passed our educational assistants, our early childhood educators, our principals and vice principals and office administration, and our school caretaking staff. The timing for this early in April is to meet all collective agreement timelines. Again, we just saw this in the last set of PowerPoints. But I want to remind you that of the six reasons why there are a change in staff, and some of these are going to be very applicable to this presentation because they really are the reason why there are some changes in our non-school-based staffing. So, again, we've talked about the investment and system priorities. You will see that in here the only investment that we have built into the budget as of now is through our ratified QP collective agreement, and there is a, we talked about last time, there was a school-based staffing impact where we added 8 caretakers to our schools, but there's an additional impact on our staffing for facilities management as a result of our system priorities. One key thing that's affecting our non-school-based staffing is our uncertainty with regarding PPF funding. Because we have not heard and we had staffing timelines to adhere to, we made the assumption that the funding is no longer continued, and therefore many of those positions are no longer in our 2020-2021 budget. And you will see that as we go forward. If we turn to the next slide, if I can get to it. And I can't. In addition, there are the other staffing adjustments that were made by specialized services that are in our non-school-based staffing. We just kind of touched on them briefly in the special education presentation. And going on to, so what you see in slide after the other budget adjustments is the elementary teachers. So I've given you 3 years, but what you can see is for non-school-based staffing for preliminary 2021, we have 147.5 FTE, which is similar to last year. However, there are some differences. There are no changes to reading specialists. With respect to math facilitators, we have reduced by 2 FTE. So that you know, last year we had 4 positions in the budget initially. Then when the PPF came for the math strategy, we increased it by 6, and all 6 positions were funded by the math Fundamentals of Math PPS. So we are starting the current year with 4 in the budget with no, because we have no PPF, so it is a reduction of 2. When the funding, if the funding comes in, then decisions will be made as to whether we're going to increase back up to the 6 level or basically, those decisions will come back to exec council through the program department with their recommendations. There are no changes to our student success or grade 7 and 8 preparing for high school teachers. Our ESL and teachers has remained constant at last year's level. The other change that we did talk about at with the CAC presentation is an increase in CCTC teachers of 1, and system alerts went up by 1. So in total, a net change of 0, but a reduction in math facilitators at this point offset by our special education changes that were discussed earlier. Do you want me to continue through the whole thing and then we ask questions? Because there's there's a lot of numbers coming.
Yep, that's fine. You can continue.
Okay. With respect to secondary teachers, this is where you do see a major impact in our non-school-based staffing teachers as a result of reductions in our partnership and priority funding, our PPFs. So in last year's budget, there were 2 math coaches that were funded by the grant, the additional grant. In this year, we're assuming we do not have it yet, so there's a reduction of 2. Similarly, we had
a special assignment teacher that supported specialist high skills major that is not in the budget. When we go down to the bottom, we have an experiential learning special assignment teacher that is not in the current year budget, and an Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program special assignment teacher, or OYAP, that again is not in the budget due to not having information with respect to our PPS. We do see an increase of one system LEARN, which was part of the special education presentation, and the decrease in the CARE Corrections and Treatment Center staff as it's being reallocated to the elementary panel. So in total, a net decrease of 5 secondary teachers, all due to not having the information at this point in time with the PPS. When we look at system principals, consultants, and support staff, there is a reduction of 0.5 of a position, and this position was added in January of this year. It is our system principal that is supporting the, I can't remember the title, I'm sorry, the bullying intervention, and it is supported through, paid for through this mental health assist money. So with not knowing about how much of that is available, there is that reduction of 0.5. So that is the impact on our system principals, consultants, and support staff. Now, the next two slides are professionals and paraprofessionals. So I've given you a lot of data here. There aren't a lot of changes, but I'm, you know, giving you some information of the type of positions that make up this area in the budget. In the budget, we have 171.1 professionals and paraprofessionals, and these are the type of positions that we have. This funding from the ministry supports our IIT department, our technicians, and that we definitely need on a daily basis. It looks after, it pays for our human rights and equity officers. It supports our research and analytical department, our corporate communication department with respect to engagement. And then we have our leadership and learning, special ed and student services, where you do see a reduction of 6 positions. I know it's very difficult to read it. I've kind of squished it in. But there is a reduction of 1 under the School Mental Health Ontario PPS that is not being built in the budget. There's the mental health workers in our secondary schools. We had 4 in the current year. And given the fact that we're not sure about that funding, we are reducing by 4 positions in 2021 as we wait. There was new funding this year for a graduation coach that has not been included in the current year's budget. And then when you look under early years, there is a 0.8 of a position for a DECE that's supported by the City of Hamilton for the parenting program that runs at Bernie Custis, formerly at Sir Johnny McDonald, that has not got confirmation of funding yet for next year. So in total, we do have 171.1 positions, and we have 6.8 that are being reduced in the current year's budget, all due to uncertainty with respect to our PPS and non-GSN funding. I think when we move on to governance and board administration, again, I've given you a lot of detail just so that you know the type of positions that make up this funding envelope. And please remember that this envelope is one of those envelopes that we're maxed at. We cannot overspend what we're funded for. So in total, we have 121.5 positions. So you see under trustee services that we do have the increase in one student trustee, the Indigenous trustee that was approved for next year. Exec Council and their support, there is no change. Corporate communications, again, no change. Oops, and I put the same slide in there again. Human resources, one thing you do see here is a reduction of 1.5 positions. And when you slide down to the bottom of this slide, you see under employee support and wellness, there were two contract positions that were hired in the 19-20 school year that end as of August 2020. So those positions have are not included in next year's budget. Discussions are still going on. And then there was a little bit of a shift where we added a 0.5 in additional support in that department. So in total, human resources is down 1.5 positions. And basically, that's it, 1.5 reduction in human resources, 0.5 increase, one increase in student trustees leads us to a net decrease of a half of a position for governance and board administration. And board administration. And I do apologize. I duplicated a slide here, and the duplicate of the trustee services and exec council was in there twice, and it was actually a slide on business services. But I can assure you there is no increase in any staff in business services between the current year and next year. If we move on to our final department that is non-school-based staffing, it's facilities management. And as you can see, there is a reduction of one supervisor, one facilities operations supervisor due to a retirement. There is an increase of 9 elementary school caretakers as a result of the PPS. Of the investment in system priorities. And when you look at maintenance, there is an additional position that was hired again due to the investment in system priorities that came through with the collective agreement for our QP staff. So in total, we are up 9 positions in facilities management, all fully funded through the additional grant. So it's all good news. Again, as we look where our next steps are, we receive the grant information sometime soon, finalize the budget and bring it back to Exec Council and yourselves for decisions, and anxiously await some of the discussions as to the type of positions that will be added to the budget through the support for students funds once these agreements are ratified. So with that, that ends my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, so I will turn to trustees and again rotate through the list. Trustee Buck, do you have any questions?
I did have one question. So with our uncertainty about PPF funding right now, those whose positions are funded through that, so I'm thinking of the SHISM, the mental health workers, and focus on fundamental mathematics, those positions, are we looking then at declaring them redundant, and then what timeline are we looking at if that's something we need to do?
Through the chair, those positions, in accordance with their collective agreements, the secondary and elementary teachers have been notified. I'm not quite sure on the mental health workers, as those are PSSC staff, but human resources is working with specialized services, and meetings will staff will be known, will be told by their respective collective agreement timelines. I'm just not off the top of my head sure when they are, but they will be
probably approaching very quickly.
Any further questions, Trustee Buck?
When we hire in these positions using our PPF funding, do the individuals that we're hiring, do they know that their paycheck essentially is coming from an envelope designated that we're not certain we're going to get year after year? So are they aware that their position is potentially temporary? Or is that a discussion that trustees should maybe have at another time and talk about it when it comes to policy, when we don't have when we aren't certain that we're going to continue to receive that funding, making it clear that any employee or future employee would know kind of just how tentative their position actually is?
Through the chair, it's Stacey, and I will say that when we advertise for these positions, it's always done with the timeline attached to them. So in the case of the PPF, it's done on an annual basis. So they are aware that it would happen. Their seniority for their respective union still stands, so they would, if they were senior employees, they would still have a position to go back to. It's unfortunate when this happens, the timing of the PPF, because they are able to then bump individuals out of their positions, and then if the PPF gets, I guess if we get the PPF again, then they can apply for those positions and move into them. Or in certain instances, we may have agreements with the unions that if we're to receive the funding, that the same people would come back to the positions. But those agreements would have to be done separately as letters of agreement outside of the collective agreement and outside of the regular staffing. So, yes, they're aware. Obviously, for just consistency and for the ease of staffing for everybody, the more information that we have when we go through the staffing process, the better. And this is one of the reasons why we were hoping to delay some of the staffing timelines, is because of the uncertainty that we had and with regards to declaring people redundant, which then the positions may, in fact, reappear once the funding is confirmed. So timing is unfortunate. Usually we do receive this information before the staffing timelines. It's just the last 2 years, unfortunately, we haven't.
Trustee Buck?
Okay. That's great. Thank you so much, Stacey, for that answer. That brings a lot of clarity. And it's good to know that folks that are hired, they would be aware of those conditions. I wonder if this is the best way for us to be utilizing our PPF funding. And this might be a discussion for another time that I could have with the chair and the vice chair, just because it if we're going to continue with this particular ministry with who's in charge at the provincial level, if we're going to continue to have this timeline disrupted and people that we're responsible for having to continue to have this level of uncertainty, it's not fair to them, and so it might be worth us looking into a different way of organizing things. So, yeah, I'll take that away and connect with the chair and vice chair at another time.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. And given that this is a repeat of last year, I understand we are in unique circumstances this year. If you were interested, you could move that we propose that the chair of the board write a letter to the ministry highlighting the challenges that we face when this funding is not confirmed in a timely manner that meets our staffing timelines, the extra work that it creates, the stresses that it creates. So if you wanted, you could move that and we could bring it forward to board.
Yes, actually, I would love to make that motion, and I'd be open for discussion about it a bit more. But yeah, I think it's worth letting. I'm sure the ministry already knows, but these are real people and real